This episode is brought to you by Fetch. Fetch is a kennel alternative right here in Denver, not a traditional doggy daycare or boarding school. They offer one-on-one private pet care for all kinds of pets, both furry and non-furry. And their employees are experienced, insured, bonded, and background checked, so you can rest easy knowing your pet is in good hands. Basically, they know pets. I used to watch a Burmese mountain dog named Sven, who was just like walking a polar bear. It was insane. Fetch offers pet sitting, dog walking, pet taxi, medication administration, and more. And he hated going on walks. I could like walk him around the block, and then he was like, he just like to lay in the bathtub. So if you're looking for high quality pet care you can trust, check out Fetch at northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. That's northdenver.fetchpetcare.com.
Today on CityCast Denver, the Subaru. It's Denver's favorite automobile, according to our reputation. But is that just a stereotype? Or does the Japanese maker of practical all-wheel drive cars really have Denver's number? Denver Post reporter and one of our favorite guests, Megan Ululani Boyanton, dug into the data, and she broke down the facts and fiction last May with our Subaru driving regular, Anne Maria Wadd, and our Subaru driving host, Bree Davies. Today is Monday, April 15th. I'm Paul Caroli, in for Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about.
So I'm here with my fellow Subaru lover, Anne Maria Wadd.
Hi.
And welcome back to CityCast Denver, Megan Ululani Boyanton.
Hey.
Okay, so before we get into your scoop, you just told me you're celebrating your year anniversary here in Denver.
Yay!
Yeah, congratulations, first
oh,
of all.
Thank you so much.
What was your impression of Denver's relationship to the Subaru prior to you doing this story?
Well, I thought that when you cross state lines, you got the keys to a Subaru. So I was deeply mistaken when I moved here, right? I thought I had a free Subaru waiting in my apartment parking lot.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, because You did a little digging, and we have this stereotype that we love our Subarus here, but I think the numbers might have told you a little differently. What did you find in your research?
Oh yeah, in my great Subaru investigation.
Yes.
I was really excited to look into this and see if I was going to myth bust. And honestly, I thought that the Subaru was going to come out king, but that turned out to not be the case. So I got some data from the DMV, and it looks like actually in the number one spot are almost 95,000 Ford F-150 pickup trucks.
Oh my Christ.
And then in number two, it's another pickup truck. It's Chevy Silverado.
Of course.
And then it isn't until number three that we have a Subaru, and then it's Subaru Outbacks. And that's at about 56,000. And as you guys can imagine, this caused quite the controversy among our readers.
Yes. And I will get to that in a minute, because I do want to ask you the big question of why. But Anne-Marie, you and I live on the west side, and these numbers of the actual popularity of the vehicle, of the Ford F-150, did not surprise me
no,
at all.
No, we live in Contractorville.
yeah, totally. Yeah. That's a great point. So a lot of contractors live in our neighborhood.
Yes.
But like, I'm also thinking about like the young dudes that are like racing their Ford F-150s all the time.
I don't want to think about that.
it's just obvious to us.
Yes.
They're very popular. I wouldn't say you would see them as much in, say, Capitol Hill.
Right.
But they're everywhere, obviously. Megan, like you said, this caused quite a bit of controversy. Why?
Well, not to be the antagonist. I just wanted to, you know, like I said, I'm coming up on my 1 year. I really wanted to dispel, if it was a myth, I wanted to dispel it. And I just wanted to dig into it. It's kind of like the... when I moved here, they also said that we get 360 days of sunshine.
Aha,
I'd seen that another reporter at the Denver Post dug into that. So I said, well, let's try it with this one. And it got quite a bit of circulation, and I definitely got people in my inboxes who did not agree with the findings.
You got a lot of native bumper stickers in your inbox.
I bet. people were definitely questioning the data and my, but I mean, it's straightforward as far as making models go. I mean, Ford is at the top. And I had already seen before I'd gotten the DMV numbers that, you know, the Ford F-150 is already the top used car in Colorado.
Oh.
And I had talked to different dealerships. And of course, every dealership is going to tout that, you know, their car is the Colorado favorite. And there are quite a few favorites amongst Coloradans, but it turns out the F-150 is number one. Dang. I'm sorry to break it to everybody.
It's just surprising to me a little bit because we're mountain people. We love to drive to the mountains. Mm-hmm. And those are not like super gas efficient. No. I feel like they're kind of gas guzzlers. So it surprises me a little bit that would outpace something like the Subaru that gets pretty good gas mileage and you could put a lot of stuff in a Subaru.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I live in Cap Hill, and so everywhere that I walk, it's Subaru here, maybe a Jeep there. So I had honestly thought that maybe it might be a Jeep that's up there, even, I don't know, Toyota, but no, it's those pickup trucks.
Hi, this is Juliana from Marley, and I have lived here my whole life, and I am convinced that someday I am going to be T-boned by a Subaru. So if they're on the way out, I'm all for it. I don't love them. Sorry, Sub fans. Later.
But Anne-Marie, you, like me, have a Subaru. And I know
yes.
that you thought long and hard about this. And just tell us your Subaru story. How'd you get here?
I didn't think that long and hard about it. I succumbed to peer pressure. It's funny. It's when I first moved to Colorado, I just had like a little Corolla. And my partner had a Honda Accord. And we lived in Greeley first. And like for that whole year, it was like, it felt like everybody was telling us that we couldn't have cars like that in Colorado, like compact cars.
Really?
But also, okay, I've lived in Colorado for a long time now, and I'm like, I don't think all those people understood that we are not skiing. I'm like, why can't I have a small car? So we thought about it for a long time. I totaled my car at some point, and so we went down to like a one-car household. And it was a real old car. And so we started thinking about a new one. And we thought, okay, maybe it makes sense to get an SUV like everybody else. We have a large dog. I garden a lot. I can't say it's not useful for that. And so we went and got one. But I say it like that, like we just went and got one. We did not. It took a long time. Like we were getting it summer 2021.
Middle of that pandemic time.
Yeah.
It was hard to find a car. I heard
it was like
a
weird time for finding cars. Yeah. And we like went to a few used car dealerships. First experiences, both of us with used car dealerships. Didn't love it.
Trial by fire.
Yeah. and we ended up getting like a certified pre-owned Crosstrek from the Subaru dealership. But like while we were there, someone had come in to get the same car because they saw it online. Like while we were signing the paperwork, we had to buy a car that had like a busted windshield because we were like, it doesn't matter. You have one. Give it to us.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just like such a strange time to buy a car. And I think like that was probably a big part of why it's not the top car anymore, right? Is like there was a big dent in the ability to like get one for a bit.
One of the car brands that I'd spoken with had said that supply chain issues, I think it was actually Subaru, had said that supply chain issues had impacted sales, but those supply chain issues are easing now from the pandemic.
The experience of buying the Subaru also brought to my attention that Subaru is a really small company compared to the other car brands.
Oh,
I don't know if that plays a part in it, that they were like maybe struggling more with the supply chain stuff.
Because they're not as big as like a Chevy
like Toyota.
Or a Toyota that's
like,
got.
I come from a Toyota family.
You are a Toyota family. Okay.
We're very familiar with the Toyota Care package, where anytime we've bought a car, we like buy the service from them and
you
stuff.
You really have all the tea on this.
I know.
Wow.
But I like try to do the same thing with Subaru, where I was like, oh, do you guys do, you know, this thing that Toyota does? And at some point the guy was like, honey, we're not Toyota. Like much smaller company.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, I actually hadn't even thought about that when
I
was writing it.
Yeah,
they're dinky. I had never thought about that either. I drive a Subaru because I've talked about this on the show before. My cousin Sam is a mechanic and he fixes Volkswagens and Subarus. So my family has always had Volkswagens or Subarus because we have a mechanic in the family and it just makes things so much easier. So I would say like aesthetically, Subarus are not my thing, but they get the job done. I remember the first time I got it's now 2001. I think we got it when it was already 15 years old. The first week we had it, my husband drove it across the country on tour because his van
broke down before they left, and he fit a full drum kit and a whole band into a Subaru, and it did. We're still driving the same one.
Should be an advertisement.
I know, right? I mean, you'd be surprised. It's so funny. We like always have a drum kit in the back of our, like a full drum kit in the back of the Subaru. But like they do, I don't know. They just like, they haul things.
They're great for that. At this time of year, I usually have like at least a bag or two of compost in the back at all times.
Totally. So something else that was surprising to me, not just that the truck was the number one thing, but that it wasn't just like other SUVs. Is that trend on the way out?
No, it seemed like from the top 10 results, it was definitely split between trucks and SUVs. So Coloradans still love their SUVs.
Love
for
their
sure.
big cars.
They love to be able to haul up the household to go camp for a weekend.
Yeah.
So no, SUVs are not on their way out, but trucks have definitely cemented their place in the rankings.
Anne Marie, did you think about SUV when you guys were debating?
We struggled with it because I was like, I felt bad about going up to a bigger car for gas consumption purposes. But at the end of the day, it's like because we share it, I feel like that offsets it.
I think so. I don't know. There's not, I mean, there are definitely one car households in the city, but I would say it's more rare than not.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, we really want to get an e-bike between the two of us. But it's interesting. It's like I had never pictured myself having an SUV before I came to Colorado. Like I had always been one of those like, people don't need these big cars. Like the vast majority of people don't need these large, large cars. And I still kind of feel that way. But they are nice. And you know what? It's funny. I pulled up to the Westward parking lot just now and I pulled into a space and the sign was like compact cars only. And I was like, oh no, should I pull out? And then I looked to my left and I looked to my right, all SUVs.
Yeah.
And I was like, there are no compact cars.
No.
They're gone.
No, they're really not. That's a good point. To get back to the stereotype, I thought it was interesting that we are behind Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont for Subaru ownership. What is that? I don't know. What does that evoke for either of you?
Yeah, these Ben and Jerry states.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
East Coastal elite coming for our Subarus.
It was like, Bernie drives a Subaru, right?
He absolutely does.
Same thing. I was like,
Bernie's got like the wood paneled Outback.
Yeah. It is, but you're making a great point. It's like, it is this East Coast. Those are East Coast recognizable places. And we are so hardcore about being in the West. That is such a part of our narrative. So I just find it funny that we have that crossover. But it makes sense. I don't know.
We're not so special after all.
That's the truth of this story.
Isn't this like when they found out that the native stickers aren't even made here?
Yeah. That they were made by a transplant. Who's
making, yeah, that's right.
Who's making great money off of that.
That's the real tea right there.
So, okay, the Subaru stereotype is something that people think a lot of outside of Colorado when they think about Colorado. Mm-hmm. But I think we've also sort of owned it a little bit. And I wonder if, do you think this data is going to change that narrative at all?
Probably not.
I mean, based on your responses you got, I would guess probably
not. And people still say that we get 360 days of sun too. So I think there are some things that just stay within, stay within the state's culture.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, it's top three.
Okay.
It's up there.
That's true. I think I fully bought into a brand and I'll admit that. I used to drive around with my friend in her cross truck and every time I'd just be like, man, I just really like this car. It's just so nice. That's it. That was my whole decision making.
No, but what I was going to ask you is, I don't know, you wouldn't have had this experience, Megan, but have Anne-Marie, have you ever had one of those wrong Subaru experiences? Where you get up to it and then you're like, wait.
Nope, this isn't it. The best part is when someone's in it.
That's what happened to me. My husband was picking me up somewhere and I just walked out, got into the green Subaru Outback, looked over, sat down, over at the leg of the driver and I was like, that's not my husband's leg. And I looked up and I was like, ah! And he was like, and I got back out and I was like, oh my God, wrong. He was super cool about it, but just like, thank God that didn't end in something crazy dangerous.
Yep, one of my sources for the story, he owns a baby blue cross truck and he says that happens to him all the time when he's in a Safeway or a King Supers parking lot. And I will say, my roommate just put a down payment on a baby blue Subaru Crosstrek. So the legend lives on.
Well, Megan, Anne-Marie, thank you both so much.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Hey, it's Paul again. How great is that Anne-Marie Awad, huh? We're having them back on the show soon because it's spring and they are a true plant whisperer. But even more, they love digging up answers to your questions about gardening in Denver. So the Green Thumb Hotline is open. Text or leave us a voicemail with all your questions for Anne-Marie at 720-500-5418. The Green Thumb Hotline is open at 720-500-5418. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell your mechanic about us, rate the show wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our morning newsletter, Hey Denver, and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you then. For the record, I drive a Prius, a Toyota Prius, and it's a fine, fine car. It's fine.